Good afternoon, Shadow Hills. Wow, what a week, huh? What a month, what a year. This was going to be a year to remember. And by the way, we're having a presidential election to boot. But meanwhile, Kim's got new information, clarifying some old information. And so here's Kim.
Good afternoon, everybody. And, you know, maybe everybody ought to send Robert and the mighty Gus here a thank you note. You know, I drag him down here because I want to say a few words. So we start out, you know, I don't know how long ago I've been doing this. Robert would come in. Now I'm dragging Robert out here to introduce me. He has to listen to these things, and I charge him a dollar to hear it live. Anybody who wants to hear it live, you got to pay money. So I charge him a dollar. It's going into my account. Anyway, so let's talk a minute. There is no question many of you are seeking to try to go back to normal, and we're not there yet. I urge you to keep in mind certain things. This virus is 10 times more deadly than the flu. It spreads easier than the flu. It's more likely to kill you. There's no natural immunity. There's no vaccine. And it's most likely to hit our age group. So keep that in mind. That's from the ex-CDC director. We can't return to normal. I think it's great that we got to where we're going, but be patient here. We want to make sure everybody's okay. Now, as far as the state order is still in effect. It says all residents to stay home at their place of residence. No visitors, no gatherings. Now, they have modifications when you go to the state order. Exception. They give an exception. You may play golf. They have restrictions on how, but they have exceptions. You may play golf. Now, the county, people will bring this up to me, is the county rescinded their orders. And some people are interpreting that when the county rescinded their restrictions, that meant there's no restrictions. That's not what the county order says. The county order rescinded their previous restrictions, but it also says that we are to follow the state order. So we now become under the state order. Now, as a result, the state order is still in effect about stay at home and no gatherings. Residents are responsible to follow the state order. The HOA will not be looking for violations of the state order on private property. We will investigate any complaint of noise or conduct on private property. The HOA will be looking for and enforce citations for no visitors and no gatherings on common area property. So if you were to play tennis and then hang out at the table, you can be cited. Now, some residents have written to me and have asked, what does that mean? And my answer is, it means what it says. It means you're responsible to follow the state order. The HOA will not be looking for violations of the state order on private property. So a resident wrote to me and says, well, I want to invite some friends over. Is that okay? And I will write to you and give you the same exact answer I'm telling you now. Now, I will tell you this. If you have a party on your driveway, I'm not looking, but if you put it right in front of my face, it's not good. So I urge responsible caution. My answer will be the same, and it will be exactly what I just quoted to you. Now, the other little hot item I'm getting is dog parks. I understand everybody who has a dog wants to go to the dog park. I'm going to read you one of the emails, and this is not the only person who's written this to me. Person said, I spoke to the County Riverside today, and they said that I am more than willing to call them, welcome to call them, but that the dog parks are allowed to be open. So this resident contacted the county. That's really good. The only requirement is that the owners should either wear masks or social distance. This resident also said the CDC has said animals do not transmit the disease. So, why can't we open the dog parks? It's unfair. Now, We can't accept a verbal communication from any authority. I don't care if it's President of the United States. He wants to call me and tell me the dog parks are open. I'm going to tell him, no, they're not. And he can come do what he wants to do. I don't care. We have to have a written authoritative order. And right now it comes under the state of California. The state of California, if you go to their website, it says you can walk your dog, you can go to the vet or pet hospital. Remember to distance yourself at least 6 feet from other pets and owners. It's that clear. I don't know how you keep dogs apart 6 feet. I just don't understand how that's possible. So until the state changes, we're not going to open that dog park. I consider it a risk. I care more about your life than I do your dog gathering with dogs. Sorry, the dogs can wait. Now, here's what the CDC does say about dog parks. One, you should avoid dog parks. Clear as a bell in print. Walking a dog is important for both animal and human health and well-being. Dogs on a leash, maintaining at least 6 feet from other people and animals, do not gather in groups. Well, that's from the CDC, so I'm not sure. So sometimes we will look at items we want and then try to say it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, with dogs, I understand you want to open it. I get that. I'm not taking the risk. So if you really want to get that open, you're going to have to appeal to 4 other board members. You will not change my mind until the state says it's safe. I care about your life more than I do your dog walking in a park. That's me. Now, the other one is swimming pools. This one gets tougher. We do have lanes for indoor pool now. There are usually lanes available on most days. Weekends is tougher because weekends we have shorter hours. Now, there are some people who want to swim outdoors, totally get that, and they want us to open up the outdoor pool so there could be 2 or 3 people. And that way more of you could swim outdoors. Here's our behind the scenes part of what we look at. There are people here who are at higher risk than other people. They're in that very high-risk group. If they catch the virus, it could kill them. They would like to swim. They're not going to swim in a pool with anybody. So at the moment, because the indoor pool has space available, we consider that the priority of people who are extremely high-risk swimming alone is a greater priority than somebody's personal convenience of swimming outside. Namely, you can swim inside. Give it a go. Give it a try. Because a lot of people can't swim indoor. They don't want to swim with other people because they're afraid. Let's put it where it's at. So until that changes, we will have to just stick with that until maybe this will calm down. Now, reservations we take 1 week ahead. And the reason we take them 1 week ahead, people ask me that too. For tennis, pickleball, bocce, we take it all 1 week ahead. So we didn't want a different reservation time for swimming. Staff needs to know, have the same process for everything. It makes it easier to implement. Now, one person did write to me and said, I called Tuesday to get a swim time on Wednesday, and the times I wanted on Wednesdays were full. I go, I understand that. I don't believe the system is broken because you called the day before and the time you want is taken. I don't believe the system for golf is broken when you try to make a reservation 2 days before and the time you want isn't there. People take prime time. That's what happens. You need to call a little head. Okay. Anyway, so there's no perfect answer to this, folks. I guess before I get sidelined, we're just trying to do our best to accommodate as many people as possible, knowing the virus isn't over. And if we can, you know, have some people swim who normally might not because of they've got some underlying conditions, it's okay. And if that means some of you have to swim indoors for a little while, that's okay too. You still get to swim. Okay, now, so as a result, many of you want to return to full operations. It can't happen. The clubhouses are not open. The gym's not open. The state order is really clear on this stuff. So I'm very thankful for what we have. So keep that in mind. Riverside numbers for this virus are climbing. Just so everybody understands, at the moment, the cases are climbing. City of Palm Desert, the numbers are climbing. Sun City, Palm Desert, you know, they went from one case, they're up to 10 now. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, that's everybody's pick and choose. Currently, I don't know of a case here. But shouldn't we be trying to do everything possible to minimize the damage? And if somebody does get the virus, the reason for distancing and no gatherings is so that it doesn't spread. So that's the goal here. Now, as far as other people in cities opening dog parks or swimming, or if Sun City Palm Desert does it, they're all allowed to do it the way they want. Folks, this is where you elect five people. We take our shot. We take the best shot we can. And when it's all over and done, judge us later for what we're doing. But at the moment, every place is different. Just because Sun City does it one way doesn't mean I'm going to do it that way. Doesn't mean the board appreciates it or likes it and wants to do it that way. Totally independent groups. Now we're going to talk about golf. And I don't think I communicated the golf thing very well because I got a lot of questions about golf. So I'm going to start over a little bit. This will take a little time. And we're going to talk about what happened with golf, the golf course, why. Now, let me give you some details first. March 1, the golf course was probably in the best condition I've seen it in 5 years. I've lived here 5 years. When I first got here, this golf course was horrible. I played it once, and I wouldn't play it again. So the March 1, Troon did a great job bringing this course back over the last 4 years on a plan, and it was gorgeous. And unfortunately, about 3 weeks later, we got to shut it down. Now, the golf subsidy is $30 a month. Keep that in mind. The food and beverage subsidy is $8 a month. Now, what that means is we basically take in all the revenue, take in the costs, and the costs are more than the revenue. So each of us, every homeowner in the place, puts in $30 a month for golf so that we can maintain it to that level. Now, keep in mind, everything in this complex is subsidized. Everything. It's just that some things you don't see it because there's no income. In the case of golf, we have golf income, and then we have golf expenses, and then you see the negative. You know, $30 a month times 3,450 homes, it's about $1.2 million, whatever it is. So we have to take $1,200,000 from everybody chipping in to pay for golf to keep the golf courses maintained well. And we do all that stuff, golf, fitness, swimming, it's all done the same way. But in the case of fitness, you know, we don't get income from tennis courts or pickleball courts or bocce and swimming pools. So the income is zero, but we still have a cost. So that cost is like $12 a month. We're contributing to fitness classes and to swimming pools and to tennis courts. A lot of people don't use them. We understand that. We all moved here knowing we might or might not use something, and we're going to pay the cost, $273 a month. So when the costs exceed income, there'll always be a subsidy. Ladies and gentlemen, there will always be a subsidy. There'll be a subsidy for every single item we do here. Now we're just talking about trying to be as efficient as possible. Now, when I talked to you the other day about we cut too much staff and it's a mistake, I was trying to cut to the chase quickly. Based upon, if you're looking at the golf course condition, cutting too much staff impacts that. So let's make sure we're clear. When you cut staff on maintenance, it's not going to be as nice. That's how it works. So I was speaking very quickly about the golf course maintenance. But let's keep in mind, what's a mistake on one side might not be a mistake on the other side. Namely, financially. So now we're going to start at the beginning, and I'm going to give you both sides of this coin to tell you where the board went with it and how we're ending up. And then you all will get to decide if it was good or bad. That's up to you. I'm not sure, given all the facts, I would have changed my vote on how to proceed. When we got shut down, the projected loss, the estimated revenue drop was $1 million. $1 million. Was not coming in. Now think about that for a second. If we don't have golf revenue and we make no cuts whatsoever, The golf course would look just like it did on March 1. It would be beautiful, but we'd have $1 million additional loss to go to every single homeowner. Divide that out. That's like an additional $24, $25 per month. We'd all have to up the subsidy by $24, $25 a month for the next year just to pay for that. So that became a concern. If you cut staff 100%, well, that means it might be horrible. I mean, you know, you can't let it just go to zero. So the question is, what do we do? One is you could leave 100% of the staff on and we all pay $1 million. I'm not so sure most residents want to pay out another $1 million. Now, or there's somewhere in between, and that is where we try to maintain the course to a certain level, knowing it's going to be reduced maintenance, deferred maintenance, in order to then reduce the financial impact. So what we chose to do was we chose to cut staff and defer maintenance that would not have a long-term impact. So those are our choices. So for instance, we don't want the fairways to just turn into dirt. We don't want the tee boxes to disappear. We don't want the greens to become a mountain with an anthill in it. You see? But at the same point, we knew we weren't going to be trimming the grass around the cart paths. We weren't going to be weeding the bunkers. All that was going to have to be done at a later time. Now, this action, by reducing staff to take care of, to maintain the course in that level, to make sure it didn't die, but not keeping up with the trimming of items, this was going to save us approximately $700,000. That's a lot of money. So by doing that, when the golf course opened up and you all saw the condition, understand we just saved $700,000. So our net loss, instead of $1 million, is now down to about $350,000. That means a loss over and above our budgeted loss, because we only have a budget. Now, when I talked about special assessment on the other day, let me tell you, I was speaking globally. Namely, if an HOA has X amount of revenue and costs get too high and they can't afford to pay for their costs, they have an assessment. It's just how it works. You got a plan. In our case, there'll be no special assessment, even with the $350,000 loss, because the Finance Advisory Committee has already planned for the last 2 years, and so we have enough money in the bank to take care of this. There's contingency plans in case something goes wrong. This is one of those things. Now, guests, there's still no guests. We don't allow guests for anything, for any sport, any activity. But May revenue in golf is projected to be about budget. Now, that's a good thing. What it means is people who live here are playing golf here, and so we didn't need the guest revenue. So May, we're starting to return to a revenue normal. We're getting closer. Now, staff is almost back to full strength. I think they'll be at totally full power by Saturday, a couple days. So that's why I say we need till August 1. The plan was we knew there would be some deferred maintenance. We knew the trimming wasn't good. We knew there's going to be weeds around. But in the end, if that comes back, do you want to save the $700,000, wait till August and everything's fine? Or would you like to have the golf course perfect the whole time and then we all got to chip in $1 million? That's where the plan came in, and that's where the board and Troon sits down to decide what to do. So although I described this mistake about cutting too much staff, it's true. We cut too much staff as far as the condition. From a financial perspective, somebody would argue we didn't make a mistake at all. But you get to take your pick. What would you rather have? There's some people who would say, I'd rather have a beautiful golf course all the time, even if we're not playing on it. Now, keep in mind when we went about this too, when we first got the close the course order, it said we were not going to reopen until June 19. So part of this for us is, well, if you can't go play on it, I guess it'll be okay if we don't trim out the bunker. You're not going to be there. Those are some of the things that we thought about. So I'm not sure we would have done anything different given the facts at the time. Now, as far as overspraying, Let me describe that process a little bit. When we transition from the winter grass to the summer grass, namely the grass in the wintertime doesn't live in the summer and vice versa. Or I shouldn't say that. Bermuda from the summer just goes dormant. And so we then overseed with rye grass. When we normally go through that transition, it's in June or July. And because it's really hot, much hotter than for the Bermuda to come back strong. Now, given the fact that we were going to be shut down till June 19th, we saw this as an opportunity to spray out the ryegrass, get rid of it early, and that would give the Bermuda more time to be stronger and healthier later in the year. We didn't see it as a big problem at the very beginning because why? Course was closed until June 19th. Then what happened is course opened early. So what all of you saw was basically the rye dying out, but the Bermuda not growing back quickly because of temperature. Now, the good news is Troon's grass guy, I forget what you call these people, ergonomy people, is that what you call these guys? Anyway, I call him the grass man. He was out here checking things out. The Bermuda is actually healthier and stronger than it's been in years. By knocking out the rye and not having a competitor grass, the Bermuda in the end will be healthier and stronger. That will actually extend the season. This will be a good thing in the end. But at the time, it didn't look good. That's why we still need to get those 2 months. Now, golfers, here's what you're asking for. All of you, you're calling me. Split tees. For those of you who don't know what split tee is, normally you go play golf. They give you a time. You tee off hole number one, and then you play through. Split tee is you send four people off hole one and then four people off hole 10. So you get more people out earlier. And then when they get ready to, when 10 gets done with 18, they're going to go to one. And when one gets done with nine, they're going to go to 10. So they cross over each other. That's a split tee. The benefit of a split tee is you get more people out in an earlier time spot. And given the heat, people want to do that. Now, the difficulty for the board where we're at is when you have a split tee, it means you will have twice as many people in the given area at a given period of time. I know, golfers, you will say, you all practice social distancing. I get it. There's only eight of you. I get that. There's plenty of room on the range in the putting ring. I get that. I'm going, it's working. You get to play. And I'm going to take every ounce of caution I can to keep people alive. I hope you will appreciate and respect that. I'm not willing to change on that split tee at the moment. You can campaign to board members. I care more about life and death than you playing earlier at the moment. Now, the other reason is, which comes about as a result of us, we need time for maintenance. By not having split tees, that gives the staff a lot of time on each nine to do more work without golfers around. That helps them. That helps bring the golf course back quicker. So you notice on some days you'll tee off hole number one. And like today, you will start on hole number 10. And that way the staff can go to work on the other nine before you get there. And they got more time in order to prepare that golf course. So that's why. Ice and water, not likely coming soon, not till that state order changes, too likely to spread the virus. Shotgun starts, same thing. We don't want everybody out on the hole at the same time. We want to deal with the maintenance. We want to bring the golf course back. And so shotguns is not going to happen for a while either. We also don't want any chance of people being around. Although, the idea of a shotgun start where nobody checks in and people go to their own hole is interesting. But one of the dilemmas is everybody would have to have their own cart. You couldn't use the cart from Troon. So people who didn't have their own cart wouldn't be able to participate unless everybody had to come get the golf cart at the same time. Now you've got more people, more risk. So we're trying to limit risk. You still get to play, and we're trying to bring up that golf course as fast as possible. So give me till August 1, and then hopefully it'll work out. Now, as a result of golf, people have asked about Vintage. Vintage is the landscape contractor that deals with the common area. There was actually no reduction in staffing for Vintage because there was no revenue loss. We don't get any revenue from that landscape contract. We simply pay out. And we were committed to pay it out. Consequently, Vintage never lowered staffing, so we were able to maintain the common area landscaping without any problem because we've already committed to that. So it's different than golf. Golf, to pay for subsidy, we need revenue. When the revenue stopped, we had to cut costs. In the case of landscaping, we didn't need to do that. In the case of vintage, we didn't need to do that. All righty. Hopefully that cleared up golf, where we're at and why we did it. If you have questions about it, let me know. But in a nutshell, it was this simple. We're trying to cut cost, minimize financial damage, at the same point trying to maintain a course, knowing we've got some deferred maintenance to catch up on. In the end, we thought that was worth it. I think the board and the Troon made the right call. I do. But we will see come August 1 if it all works out. When August 1 comes around, send me an email. Tell me how it looks. We'll see. I don't play a lot of golf anymore, but, you know, I guess I could drive around. In the meantime, I wish you all well. If you have questions, let me know. And if so, then I'll be back here to entertain you one more time. Thanks for listening. See you all soon.
Kim, thank you for bringing us up to date. Even if we don't agree with everything you say, we appreciate your trying to explain it to us. And so with that, we'll leave you. Till next time, bye-bye.